Sevilla have beaten Roma on penalties in the Europa League final this morning. Now, in the French Open, and we've got Roger Rashid joining us here. Well, he's an Adelaide boy. He's joining us here in our area at the Stanford Hotel.
I think he's a Port Adelaide supporter too. He'd be up and about, Rog.
They are going well. Tanasi Kokkinakis, a great five-set over Stan Wawrinka at the French Open this morning. Djokovic and Carlos Alcaraz, they were victorious as well. Jason Kubler, unfortunately, the Aussie, was beaten. Also, Storm Hunter was beaten as well. 26-18 last night, Queensland over New South Wales in Origin 1. Tom Gilbert, dislocated shoulder. I wonder how serious that'll be, Loz. So, and I'll tell you what, I remember his game 3 last year had an impact. And for those 18 minutes he was on, he was aggressive.
Got a great strike rate in Origin football, hasn't he, Tom Gilbert? Game three last year, they win. Game one this year, even though it was only 18 minutes. And he's been playing great football for the Dolphins. Was rewarded for his great start to the year. Hard-working back rower. And that was the other thing about Queensland's performance last night. They lost him, but then they moved Ruben Cotter to an edge. Now, Ruben, as far as I know, hasn't played as an edge forward in the NRL. He's played as a hooker. He's played as a middle. But I don't think he's ever defended on an edge. And that's a specialist position. That was the other thing I thought New South Wales missed last night, was to readjust at times and maybe look to find him and Ailey Cherry-Evans out, just because they haven't defended a lot together. But they didn't do that. But Cotter was outstanding. He just continually took the ball forward, did all the little things well. But Tom Gilbert, that'll be a massive blow. You can get away with playing with a dislocated shoulder if it's only partially come out. But if he's actually tore all the ligaments, then he's going to have to go in and get a shoulder reconstruction. So that'll put him out for the rest of the season. But if he's only subluxed, it might be okay with a bit of strength work to get through to the end of the year and then get it operated on.
Let's talk some AFL now. And Kieran Briggs, 23-year-old GWS ruckman, played 11 games since he debuted in 2021 and was prominent last week against the Cats. What a win that was for GWS. 7-point victory, and he had 34 hit-outs, 17 disposals. Kicked a goal as well. Played at Pennant Hills in Sydney, so came through the Giants Academy, and Kieran joins us now. Very good morning to you, Kieran. How are you?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, great to have you on the show. And last weekend, obviously great week for the team, beating the Cats, but what did it do for yourself personally as well?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a great confidence builder. We've obviously had a new coaching system over the summer, and I mean, it's just, I guess it's pleasing to see that it does work, and yeah, it sort of all clicked last week, and it was good to get a good win down at GMBH.
And Kieran, do you feel as though you're getting better and better, like the team in general, getting better and better each week under the new systems that Adam Kingsley has in place?
Yeah, definitely. It's just, I think the best part about it is just seeing that the results will actually work, and I think we're going to get more consistent with it as time progresses, and obviously we're going to have our ups and downs with it, but it's definitely going to be a winning formula going forward, hopefully.
Can I ask, mate, the difference in style under Adam compared to Leo?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think we're just a lot more of a come forward team this year. We just want to have really high pressure, which just forces the other team to have more mistakes, and we can pounce off that. I think it really suits our players, and I think last week showed that we're really capable of doing it.
Kieran, I know you're sitting in 14th spot at the moment, but is final footage still something that you guys are speaking about, and is it realistic?
Oh, we obviously know it's going to be a challenge to make it, but yeah, it's definitely still in the conversation. There's still, 13, 14 rounds left of footy, so there's still plenty of footy left for the year. So yeah, definitely still in the conversation.
And Kieran, how did the Toby Green 200 game factor play into, I guess, your performance there against Geelong on the weekend?
Oh, yeah, he's a special player. I think, obviously, the boys all lifted for him. And, he's a special friend to everyone, and he's our captain. So I know that he lifted himself personally. I mean, he does freakish things that others can't do, but I think we've all come to learn that's just his normal. So, I think we can expect that every week from him, and hopefully the boys can keep doing the same as well.
Tigers this week, buddy. What same things from the Giants' perspective, or what needs to change to combat them? Obviously, a new coach as well. So, are you expecting anything different from them?
I'm not quite sure from their end. I know that the old Adam Kingsley Cup, he's named it himself, and I think we're just going to try and stick to our system as best we can, and that'll hold us in good stead for Sunday.
Kieran, I want to find out more about what Toby said at halftime or three-quarter time, because I think it was, I heard an interview with one of your boys, I think it might have been Brent Daniels, that spoke about, Toby said, no, we're going to win because we're going to go enjoy the beers after the game. And he said that inspired us.
Yeah, there was a little cheeky comment just before we ran out to the bounce. That's just in Toby's character. We all know he loves having a good time, so there's a little extra kicker for everyone before they run out.
And Kieran, as a Sydney boy, I mean, I'm sure there came, and I'm sure you played multiple sports. I mean, at what point did you sort of have to make a choice? Because you're an athlete as well, weren't you?
Yeah, so played multiple sports across growing up. I actually got told by a soccer coach if I didn't like watching soccer, I shouldn't play it. So I pretty much stopped on that day. And then, funny enough, I love watching soccer now. So, and then league as well. I was a bit of a skinny kid, so I didn't exactly love running straight at all the big guys. So, and then AFL just sort of became a passion, and just got involved in the Giants Academy, and just sort of took it from there.
Did you watch the Origin last night?
No comment.
Were you like all of us, just depressed this morning?
Oh yeah, very. It was quite a somber night. All the boys were around here last night watching it, so quite quiet with everyone leaving.
I think I read somewhere you're a Roosters fan. Is that right?
Yeah, it's true. I don't know how I've ended up there. Dad was a Roosters fan growing up, and so I come from the West and go for the East.
And I guess, just being in your position, Shane Mumford being on the staff there at the Giants, so how much impact does he have on your development and on your time there at the club?
Yeah, Mummy's been great ever since I've been drafted. He was probably the one that ended up flicking the switch when I was 18 and sort of just lumbering through the system and sort of just, having time pass. So having him on the list when I first started, and then obviously still being a coach now, it's been a really good transition, and having a really good relationship with him. Just, he's more of a friend than a coach, but can also track down as well.
Kieran, just looking at your next 3 weeks of footy, they're all very much winnable game for you guys. And Clarkie touched on before about, finals being a realistic proposition. You've got the Tigers, you've got the Kangaroos, you've got the Dockers at home, so there's no reason why you can't win all three of those games.
Yeah, definitely. The group will take so much belief out of last week's game, and I think we know what the formula is. If we can bring our pressure each week and play to our system, then we know we're going to go a long way in games. And, if you look at our year, we've been in every game so far bar one. And, we've just been on the wrong side of a couple of them due to a few inconsistencies throughout quarters. So, last week you showed that we can do it for four quarters, and I think that'll put us in a good way for the next few weeks.
Well, Kieran, good luck against the Tigers Sunday, and we really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Kieran Briggs, GWS Ruckman. And that game is a tight market with TAB. $1.85 for the Giants. Richmond, $1.95. That's a 1-10 first bounce Sunday afternoon there between the Giants and the Tigers.
It was a good performance last week down there in Geelong. They've got a decent record against Geelong.
They do.
They tend to match up really well against them. And Geelong won the flag last year. I don't know how well they're... Well, they're not travelling great. A lot of people thought they'd be... would go back-to-back. They've got such a good roster. A few injury concerns at the moment. But, you know, I think the AFL's quite open as well.
It is.
It's a bit like the league.
I think there's a Port Adelaide fan sitting close to us who'd be up and about when we speak to him, Roger Rashid, this morning. They've had a very good start to the season. But, yeah, weird season for Geelong. Started with three straight losses. Then they won five in a row. And now they've had three straight losses again. But Collingwood looks the team to beat, don't they? 10-1 over the opening 11 rounds of the season. The Brisbane Lions had seven in a row and then lost to the Crows here in Adelaide on the weekend. They've had a pretty good start. Melbourne, you can probably never write off, considering the talent they got in their midfield as well. But if you're a Queenslander that wants to gloat or a New South Wales person who wants to put the boot in, give us a call. 1353 53. We've got Will. Will, a very good morning to you.
Morning, boys. pretty depressed after last night, eh? I just wanted to ask Loz, why does Cleary not get much chat about his poor game last night and Teddy's copping all the slack after the loss?
I can understand where you're coming from. I was expecting a little bit more from Nathan, in particular his running game. But there was just... I don't know. There was no connection. I thought his kicking game was okay, Cleary, and I thought he defended okay. But it's hard at times when you're moving the ball and other people are making errors. I didn't see Nathan make errors, but I thought he would have been doing a little bit more. I thought he would have taken the line on a little bit more. I think Teddy, the fact that he was last line of defence, was involved in four tries. That stands out a lot more than possibly some of the things that Nathan didn't do. So I'm thinking that's probably why he's in the spotlight at the moment, Teddy. But Nathan Cleary, there's always question
Tedesco's
marks.
Tedesco's captain as well.
Yeah, and Tedesco's captain. But there's always some question marks about Nathan at this level. But I'm certainly not one of them. I think Cleary's our best option. But club football... You could say that Nicho Hynes is in better form, but are you going to pick Nicho over Nathan?
Yeah. I think the other thing about Cleary is the expectation is he is as good as Andrew Johns or Jonathan Thurston.
Well, he's not in that class.
But I think what you've seen at the highest level, he's not at this stage.
No.
And
no.
hasn't been
no,
so far.
No.
As well,
no, he's very, mate,
as,
he's
well
very
as he, as good a player
he
as
might,
he is.
He might eventually get there, but he's not there at the moment.
And I think I probably feel like that conversation's had because Andrew Johns spruiks Nathan Cleary as much as anyone. He talks about him like he's in that class, but I think that's why there's huge expectation on Nathan Cleary.
Yeah.
But like last night, I think there's a separation between Jonathan Thurston and Andrew Johns and then Nathan Cleary.
And would you drop him, Will?
No, I wouldn't drop him. No. He's obviously our best option, but everyone says that, you know, the buck stops with the halfback when you lose, and I just feel like Teddy's copping all the flack for the loss, which is fair enough. He didn't play his best, but what we expect from Nathan, he hasn't really delivered yet, and it happened again last night on the Origin stage, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, they always talk about the Sevens owning the result of the game, and, you know, you can be the most influential player on the field. Was it his best game? No. Mm. Does he need to improve? Yes. He's one of 17 that needs to improve, though.
Yeah.
And I think they all contributed last night. The thing that I found frustrating out of the whole match was how we lost that last 10 minutes when we were 18-16 in front. They were down a man. They had a left-edge back rower playing in the centres. They had a hooker slash halfback defending on the wing. And they scored two tries.
And we come from 10-0 down. So we managed to turn that around and then get into that position with 10 to go, be in front, and we still found a way to blow it.
Yeah.
But is that, again, like I feel like we are always critical of ourselves, New South Wales. Are we giving Queensland enough credit?
Possibly not. No. Because Queensland do it more than what we do. Well,
They feel like they do it consistently. Hang in there.
They fight and scrap.
Yeah.
Keep themselves close.
Yeah.
And once they get an opportunity, they pounce.
Are you surprised about last night? Because to me, that's what it felt like. Groundhog Day. Watching last night felt like Groundhog Day. I'm not surprised that Queensland found a way.
No, you never get surprised.
Yeah,
because they've done it so often since 1980, and that's how Origin has continually thrived. Mm. Because the underdog, on more occasions than not, have always got up and won.
Yeah.
And more times than not, Queensland have been the underdog. So we've always underestimated them. I'm not saying the playing group underestimates them, but a lot of other people. They look at the stars in the New South Wales side, and they look at the lesser-known players in the Queensland side, and they go, well, how can New South Wales lose? They've got the big guns. But, as we know...
They can't be underdogs going into game two.
Well, I doubt whether they will.
No way. Their own backyard.
Well, at Suncorp Stadium, it's going to be difficult. But... that's what you dream of as a footy player, isn't it? To go there when people say you can't do something and get it done.
Will, really appreciate the call, mate. We've got Dave. Morning, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, hello, Mido. You there?
Yeah, we got you, mate. How are you?
Yep. Good, mate. Yeah, good day out here on Barks.
Ah, anyway, beautiful stuff. Go the spaceman.
I sat there. Go the spaceman. I sat there last night watching the... just watching the summary of the whole game, and they had the metres gained, the possession. The New South Wales had everything. They won all the stats. it's just, it's amazing. And then they replayed, you were just talking about that last 7 minutes. Well, Nicho Hynes came out, and I spotted that. He came out of the line very fast, very quickly. And then... that dragged the Fox up, then they got the overlap, bingo. That led to that match-winning try. But the other one, geez, I mean, at Adelaide Oval, of all places, he takes a specky over Teddy. It'll be interesting when they get back to the club win, won't it? I'm sure you're already warned.
Well, they won't say much to each other when they get back to training tomorrow. But you know, when you mentioned your stats, you looked at all the stats. One thing you can't measure is someone's desire and want in a game. And for me last night, when the game was on the line, they wanted it more than what we did. They had more desire to do what was required than our players.
And they won. Queensland won the only stat that matters. Who won and who lost?
We got you, Dave.
Yeah, mate. Clarkie, you got to keep faith with the Western Suburbs boys, mate. They're coming good.
We are, mate. We've had a good month.
Don't worry about
the
bye
on as well. Big game this week against the Raiders, though.
Yeah, grudge match, you two.
Yeah. We need Appy. I need Appy to back up. We need him to play.
He's going well. That'll only do him good last night.
Yeah, I agree.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Great to be in Adelaide the day after Origin, and it's great to have our mate Roger Rashid in the house. Rog, very good morning to you, mate.
Welcome to Adelaide. I know you're all a bit down. I can feel the energy not great, but I love amping things up, and it's great to finally be in person as well, because there's been a lot of talk, and I feel a little bit sometimes over the airways, but we're in person now, so you can front up.
Cut to the chase, Rog.
Yes.
Blue or maroon? Where were you?
I was in the middle of banter between some tennis greats, Wally Masur, Pat Rafter, John Fitzgerald, Josh Eagle. Wally Masur is a New South Welshman.
Yep.
He's depressed. I was on the phone to him driving down here. He was talking to me all about it. I said, I'm talking to you guys, and he said, oh, well, he was pumping your bags up, Laurie. He said, oh, God, we... could have put him back in. And then you've got Pat Rafter, who was sledging. Are they great sledgers?
They love it, the Queenslanders.
Yeah,
they
love it. Absolutely.
I love the game. I thought the game... I mean, it's interesting because if you're not invested weekly in the game, you don't know the little nuances. So I walk out of there going, oh, that was a hell of a game. 10-0 to Queensland. New South Wales fight back. They're in front. They look like they're going to hold on. There's, you know, they've got the favouritism, I guess, of what was going on the Queensland side. And then, you know, all I've walked away with were they a bit fumbly. As I said to you guys when I walked in, I don't know if that's the end. But I think it was a good spectacle for fans that came that don't follow the code weekly. And I just think, how could you not love State of Origin? That's why from football, AFL perspective, we would love State of Origin back. It's funny how your athletes are happy to play State of Origin and the franchises are happy to release the players. Is that? Do you think
I think they're accepting of it. Accepting of it because they realise how much money it brings into the game and therefore back into their pockets. I think if you ask the clubs, they wouldn't want to release their players for risk of getting injury, which you can understand, but it's just a big money driver, State of Origin.
And it is a great feel, isn't it? For anyone that's been part of the game, State of Origin, you know, you've almost got to sort of, you know, you've almost got to take your licks and go, we need it. It needs to stay. You know, if you took that away from your code, how would you feel? How would you feel?
I don't want to see it taken away. I want to see it played. And
it's the pinnacle of your sport.
Well, it's one of them, yeah.
That and playing for your country.
I mean, you play for your country, but playing for your country because we don't play a lot of countries. But playing against New South Wales, Queensland, it's the best of the best. Because we're dominant at the Aussie
Are the
level.
Players still that aggressive for it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask the AFL guys, if they had their way, if they had their options, they would love to play, you know, an SA Victoria game. Mm. It'll have 90,000 people at the MCG. Yeah.
Well, last night's a good example. You bring it to a venue that doesn't play rugby league, and it, like every part of last night, I thought was unbelievable. Yeah.
What did you?
Atmosphere.
You
the ground was in unbelievable. Nick, I said to Loz at the time, I was surprised. You know, for me being a cricket ground, how. It was unbelievable viewing for rugby league as well. So I know watching cricket from there is awesome, but you felt close enough to the players. Like I say, the ground was in great nick. I thought the atmosphere last night, even walking over that bridge.
Well, I was about to say, you know what
was
I love?
Awesome.
I love the walk to and from.
Just to get
into the city. Yeah, I'd love that. I haven't done that for a long period of time. Just walk to a venue and then walk home
to a venue.
There's
not too many better grounds the world than Adelaide Oval now.
Yeah.
The way they have done it is... I reckon they've got it spot on.
And it's revitalised the city, really, because the city was sort of quiet, you know, during the weekends. Now you've got an AFL game, you've got cricket during the summer.
Yeah.
So people do come to events in the city. And as you said, you can stay internally in the city, you can walk across that bridge, which is a great vibe when you've got a swarm of people walking across a bridge. Then there's Adelaide Oval. And once you enter, if you haven't been to Adelaide Oval, that, as you said, it's one of the most magnificent, picturesque ovals because they've kept the old scoreboard. They've kept the hill. They haven't decided to close the whole venue with that, you know, with big stands, which there has been a lot of talk about that here in South Australia. But there's a big push to never have that happen because, you might fit another 20,000 people in it or 15,000.
Is it
worth it, or would you rather keep the aesthetics of what
that old scoreboard looks good?
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
And what did they get last night? 48?
48-613, I think it was.
Yeah, that was about
unbelievable. It's pretty good. It's pretty good, that.
And if you held that in New South Wales?
Well, you'd play at ANZ Stadium, so it's about 85, is it?
And would you feel
82?
Yeah.
Game one, you would.
Yeah. Game one, game two. Interesting, if it's 2-0 Queensland, you might get 60,000 for game three.
Hmm.
Or maybe a touch more, but you probably don't sell it out.
As a purist, are you happy for it to, like, were you happy that it's in another state? Does it matter?
I wasn't.
You weren't?
Yeah. Until I was a coach, and then we took it to Melbourne one year, and we played in front of 90-odd thousand. That's pretty special.
Yeah. See, to me, it still doesn't make sense. If it's New South Wales versus Queensland, then it doesn't make sense to play the game in Adelaide to me.
Yep.
But being at the event, of course, money's the dictator, as always, but being at the event, Adelaide did it. South Australia, you couldn't do it any better. It was a brilliant event. So I'm not taking anything away from if it goes to Perth, if it comes to South Australia, goes to Melbourne, whatever. But I still find it very hard to comprehend that you've only got two states against each other, why would you not play in either state?
Like a
grand final. If a grand final goes to Melbourne, well, there's a Melbourne NRL team. If a grand final goes to Auckland, because there's a New Zealand team, that makes sense to me. State of Origin, there's New South Wales or Queensland. Why are you not playing it in either state?
Yeah, and a lot of people have that view as well.
Mm.
But I think the way well, the environment we live in today, it's obviously commercial reality.
Cash is king.
You're going to go somewhere if someone's prepared to pay.
And they didn't let anyone down last night. South Australia government, mate, what they put on an unbelievable show. It was awesome.
I'll let my sister know.
Unbelievable.
Okay, well, she's been busy considering what's been on in South Australia in the last...
Well, she went and got... she had to hunt Live Golf and got that here. And they've had a lot going on, obviously. But Gather Round. And then this. So this is sort of like they were the three, you know, that was a triangle of sport for us, really, which was pretty amazing for South Australians who are, you know, it's a small state, but we do love our
sport. Have they always operated like that, Rog, going for major events?
Through COVID, you didn't have the opportunity, obviously. But, cycling, getting the Tour Down Under, bringing Lance Armstrong down here. You know, that was one of her initiatives as well with Mike Turd at the time as well. Yeah. So fly over there, spend some days with Lance. Okay, we know what, you know, he was coming out of retirement, but wow, did he put this place on the map?
Yeah.
You know, the Tour Down Under, and it became a tier one race now.
Geez, yeah, they had the Grand Prix here, didn't they?
Yeah, the Vic stole that.
We're saying
the Vics have borrowed that because it's coming to Sydney.
Is it? Yeah. Well, you guys are always
over the Harbour Bridge.
All you need to do is just sell the Harbour Bridge, and I reckon you're a chance.
We tried recently.
Yeah, I know, we did. We missed out.
Victoria re-signed.
Yeah.
Well, we better talk some tennis. This morning, Tanasi Kokkinakis has beaten Stan Wawrinka in five sets. So that he got his, first singles victory at Roland Garros in, I think it was 8 years, by winning his first round match. And another great result for him in, more than 4.5 hours on court this morning.
Yeah, it's interesting. Against Stan Wawrinka, and Tanasi's, he's someone who's sort of, his body didn't get right. He spent a lot of time in, I guess, the tennis wilderness, in the sporting wilderness, didn't really gel, and he's now, you might remember against Andy Murray at the Australian Open, he led two sets to love in that epic that went late at night through the early hours of the morning, and he lost that one. Well, he looked like he might have sort of repeated itself a little bit against Wawrinka, who will be a Hall of Famer in the tennis world. He's a three-time major champion, and the three Grand Slams that he won, the majors, he beat the number one seed in the final. Which is a pretty epic result when you look at, you've won three majors against Novak, Roger, Rafa, those guys in that time. He's 38 years of age and big, strong, strapping lad. For Tanasi, that was a great result. I thought he played really well. He weathered the storm early and then found his way. Would I have put him as a slight favourite in that match to go in? Yes, I probably would have, because of the age. Stan's played five sets 2 days before. And if you want to win those matches, Tanasi, that's the time you need to do it. And on a clay court where it becomes quite physical, you know, there was a good opportunity for him and he took it. So really happy for him.
Novak looks like he's just getting a bit of rust out of the system. Yeah. But he still looks... Can anyone beat him?
Good call. Good call about rust out of your system. Yeah. Didn't have a great... Normally the great players, they generally like to create a lead in where they control the way they lead into a major. They get some consistency, they get some match wins, and you can see them building. Whereas Novak wasn't allowed to play in the US.
Yeah.
You know, was really poor, you know, had a bit of an elbow injury. He feels like, there is a bit of rust. He started off tight first set, then raced through, had a six love set in the second. He's going to be tricky to beat. The half of the draw that he's in, he's got Alcaraz in the semi, which you would think that's probably that'd be a great final. Tsitsipas is also in that section of the draws, or in that half of the draw. So the top half's pretty loaded, but you know he's one when he gets into that position. He's very hard to beat under those circumstances. But you've got to love Alcaraz, who also won in four sets overnight, dropped a set. But when you look at I love watching the greats and look at the way they win their sets. You know, he hammered his opponent in the rest of the sets. They were 6-2, 6-1s. And he's physical, Clarkie. So when you look at you look at what happened last night, you know, you want guys that can sustain a physical presence and level throughout the course of long matches and fire. But if you can throw a lot of heavy blows and you can repeat those, you're really hard to beat. And that's what Alcaraz offers at the moment.
What about Max Purcell and Dimonor tonight? How do you see them going?
Yeah, they're both the guys have got opportunities. There's no doubt about that. I think Demon's got... he plays an Argentinian. He's the one, I think, Etchenberry, who's he's 49 in the world. But I think Demon, he likes this type of court. And he's on an outside court. There's a good little intimate environment there. And so I'm expecting him to get through to the third round. That's the one I'm expecting. And I'm not sure what he is on the in the money there.
Very tight. $1.80 Demon or $2 Etchenberry.
Yeah, so that's a, you know, that's and what's the other,
Nishioka.
So
versus Purcell.
So Max is, it's interesting. It's not our favoured court. So we don't learn the dynamic, how to use the angles, the spins, and so we're learning as we go throughout the court of our career. So what Nishioka offers you is he's a lefty from Japan who's a ball machine. He gets the ball back. He's quite feisty and he hits a lot of balls and he makes you earn the wins. So what it throws up your end is, shall I attack? Because he's not an aggressive player, big heavy player up the other end of the court. So for Max, he'll try and play probably quite an offensive game. But you can't quite play it the same way you play in hard court. If you hit a hard court ball and it hits the clay, it props up and sits. So it's about the dynamic spin that you can apply on the ball, because once it hits a clay court, it reacts and moves off the court. And that's when your player, you can spread your opponent on the tennis court. So if he can offer a fair bit of that and also come forward, he's got an opportunity. So I'd give him a chance at it, but you'd have to think... Nishioka would be a slight favourite in that match. He's a seeded player. He's a pretty good career for a guy who's, when you look at him, he doesn't have a lot of weapons. And you would think he'd be a slight favourite. But again, an opportunity. He's volatile.
He's $1.32 Nishioka, Purcell, $3.30 with Tab. Now, say we were to accidentally miss our flights today. What are some of your favourite spots, Rog, that we should be going to?
Well, that's a really good point. Well, we could easily... You know,
what day is it?
It's Thursday.
Oh, it's a drinking wine day.
Havelock, the Havelock.
A little bit of the Havelock.
Thursday night, Havelock. Come on. Is that still rocking or what?
What's Havelock?
Havelock, what mate. What's the Havelock? Yeah. Are you joking?
Yeah, I've got no idea.
That was a Thursday night special.
It was. That, well, he's right. It's a long time ago. It was a pub in the city of Perth, on the eastern side of town. But, you know, I mean, it's slightly foggy at the moment. It's going to clear up. I live in the Adelaide Hills, Mylor, so but that's where all the wine districts are. So I'd probably just sort of whack you in the car. We'll have a nice little lunch up in the Adelaide Hills.
And then I'll come back to the Havelock.
You could. There won't be many people there. They're just doing renos.
I'm just going there for old time's sake.
Just doing a walk around.
I need to see this Havelock.
Mate.
No, you don't.
So
no.
Good.
No.
Maybe not now.
Low joint?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
What were you doing in a low joint?
Mate, it was awesome.
No, back in the day, it was the place to go to.
Mm. Right.
So, you know, if you're sporting celebs, you turn up.
Ah, right. Yeah. Aussie cricket shirt on.
Oh, you turn up with jersey? Name on the back? Wear my pads, my gloves?
When we played Origin, we'd always wear our Origin shirt out.
Oh, my gosh.
No, so that's what I'd do, I think. Just down there at the Adelaide Hills.
Sounds like this joint, some off-air stories involved, I think.
Just the youngster enjoying Adelaide. Not every day you get to... be with your teammates and celebrate your win or drown your sorrows if you lose. And we found a pub that we like doing it in. A lot of fun. Good times. Good memories.
Just before you go, Rog, I mean, you know, obviously New South Wales, Queensland, great rivalry. I mean, being here in South Australia, Loz touched on it, the Crows-Port rivalry. Describe, I guess, the hate between these two clubs. Because it is unique, isn't it? I mean, there is no love between the Adelaide Crows and Port Adelaide. Like, for instance, there were years ago where players at the same venue, you know, words are said across and things would get a bit hairy, wouldn't they? There were incidents of that.
No, it
that
was.
Used to
there
happen.
Was. Yeah, there was Mark Rusciuto and Josh Carr, an incident, not at the Havelock, but at another pub on the coast, and you know, there was a brawl there, and Joshy was he's an assistant coach now at Port Adelaide, and you know, probably will be a senior coach at some level at some time, but you know, they used to go at it. You know, when a team became the first franchise, and it was the team for all South Australians except Port, you know, and then Port come in. Well, yep, there it is. You know, where it's and Port's beat was such a the Port Adelaide Football Club was such a dominant football club in the local SANFL competition. It was such a dominant football club, and with so many premierships. So there was always that hate for the clubs that do well. And then, you know, and then I think, you know, there was, you know, that you had to earn your stripes. And, you know, they were very savvy, Port Adelaide, when they came in. You know, they really appealed to the young kids that are playing, watching football. And I think Adelaide probably had an arrogance about them, which no one's allowed in. We've got this, you know, why is anyone else in this state that's playing on the big stage? And where we're at now, and, you know, the Adelaide Crows won in 97, 98, Adelaide in Port Adelaide in 2004, and had that big loss in 2007. So... and so if you look at the clubs where they sit now, it's probably, you know, it's the seesaw's quite balanced in the state. There's a lot of people now that love the brand of the Port Adelaide Football Club and how they appeal to the masses, you know, and the youth as well. And I'd say they're a sexy destination club.
Sexy.
If you're a young player going.
And, sexy club.
How's your daughter going, by the way? Yes. With her AFL career.
What, was that because I said sexy?
Yeah, no. Just, how is she going?
She's going well. So it's interesting having a child that likes a sport, and all you're doing as a dad, you're in it and you know it and you know how it all works, and you wanted to keep the enjoyment of it. Mm. You know, she's just turned 16, but she's got her sights on AFLW. Probably could play it today, but you can't. And you just got to navigate some enjoyment out of it. You know, it's amazing. I'm not sure what it's like in both your codes, but the scrutiny on the youth so young now, with everything being GPS'd, everything, all the data and the information. So, and I've been big on her club where she plays is, you're not to GPS her. I don't want her to be looking at numbers all the time, and or these young kids being obsessed by the numbers. How am I tracking? How many kilometres have I run?
Just play. What am I,
like, play the game. Mm. If they're as I said to one coach, I said,
overrated stats.
You're not 100%. Overrated. I said, if you're not to put a GPS on it, because does she try?
Yeah. Yes.
Is she going 100 miles an hour at it? You can. She's like a border collie. Yes. So her numbers are good.
Yeah.
I said, let her play the game of sport.
Just at that age, they should. That's exactly right.
And even a little bit older, because they're putting too much emphasis on this and losing sight on just playing the game, you know?
Well, New South Wales last night won all the stats. They lost the game.
Great.
What would you prefer?
Yeah. Right.
Moneyball. Stats. Yeah. Most overrated thing in sport.
Yeah. Great to see you in the flesh, though, Roch.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's great.
No, thank you.
When I'm in New South Wales next, I'll pop in.
Pop in.
I'll create my own segment. You'll just have to build it in.
Easy.
Thanks, Rog. Thanks, boys. Good to see you.
Steve Hewlett, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, everyone. Just letting you know what's coming up. Paul Massara, he produced that daughter of Miss Finland yesterday. She got the money. It wasn't by a big margin, but I want to get Paul's assessment. He's got one of the best strike rates in the country, by the way, Paul Massara, so he'll join us. Also a jockey where it was a bit of a sliding doors moment. He's on the sidelines at the moment. He's one of our leading riders, but he could have potentially ridden a Caulfield and Melbourne Cup winner, but just missed out. He'll tell us that story. Jasmine Cornish is one of our gifted young riders in Queensland. She's sidelined. She'll bring us an update. She's very frustrated. And we'll have the latest on the order of entry for the Stradbroke. It's a lot clearer now, Jared, isn't it, after those pay-ups yesterday? So we sort of know what horses are probably going to get a run and what horses aren't. So lots of news this morning.
That was a very impressive win by that two-year-old, I thought, yesterday. Miracle of Love into $9 for the JJ Atkins now on the fifth line of betting in the all-in market with Tab as it stands. Steve, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
We will look forward to your show after 9 o'clock.
Pleasure.
And Dave Stanley, ahead of Racing HQ. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good, Mido. And just, look, I chatted with Paul Massara yesterday pre-race. And he was obviously up and about that filly. Both Paul and John yesterday were on track there in Doomben, so that was a tip in itself with Miracles of Love, of course. We're speaking about that beautifully bred Done Deal Miss Finland filly, who we were lucky enough to see up at Scone. I think that Scone race, that Woodlands race, which I mentioned yesterday, Jared, is going to be a really strong form line with your Dipsy Doodles and your Hip Hip Hurrah. So be following that particular form line. Dipsy Doodles out spelling. Of course, it's the Godolphin astern. And Hip Hip Hurrah is the Michael Friedman trained runner, which got that photo by the barest of margins. That was the first race on the Saturday, the second day of the Scone Carnival. On HQ here in New South Wales on the ACT, we've got John O'Shea this morning. We're going to chat with John about his runners in Sydney and also up in Queensland. Chris Roots will have the latest. He, of course, had that big news story on Monday about the $20 million Everest. and what's happening there, and he'll have some prize money chat for us as well. I think there's a lot of infrastructure chat to come as well. We see a lot of chat about obviously prize money increasing, but I think there's a lot of infrastructure announcements to come from Race New South Wales. David McComb, of course, we've been to Woolloombar before. Far too easy goes around in the Morton Cup on Saturday there at Eagle Farm, chasing that elusive Stradbroke golden ticket. Matthew Kelly, the horse from Cooma, of course, now trained in Canberra. I've been trying. It goes around in Sydney. We'll chat with Matt about its chances. Danny Beasley, of course, from the Riverina. He is in Sydney Town riding back on Saturday. And we'll also chat with Kieran McAvoy at 10 o'clock. So looking forward to a big Racing HQ. Surely there's some winners there, boys. I reckon we're going to get something out of today, which maybe, Loz, you can use in your multi tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to, Dave. I'll text you later on this morning. I'm a bit flat after last night.
Yeah, understandable. I tell you what, boys, I know obviously we're going to get to the 9 o'clock news, but did it feel like an... I was just saying to the boys and girls in here, it didn't feel like an Origin last night. There's not, you know how when you, and I'm not just saying that because New South Wales lost, but like, you know when those great Queensland teams have won and they've played unbelievably and you can sit back and go, wow, that was unbelievable. It just didn't have something about it last night. I don't know, where there's a few dropped balls and, yeah, anyway, bring on game two at Suncorp. You blokes will be there. I'll be in Italy.
I know. Enjoy.
I'll be there cheering, having a Peroni. You enjoy getting back home to Sydney Town, boys.